Our lesson for this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You'll find it on the back of your bulletin, so follow along with me. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Frank and Jean had a beautiful, long marriage. Their marriage spanned 60 years, and everything in it was great except for one thing. Jean had a secret. Inside the bedroom closet, Jean had hidden a shoebox. And Frank, in 60 years, he discovered this shoebox, but his wife Jean forbade him from ever opening it. And so there were times where he was tempted, but throughout the years, he always proved faithful and he didn't open the box. Well, sadly, the day had come and Jean had found herself in her deathbed. And so she decided to let Frank see what was inside the box. So she told him to go to grab the box and to bring it and to place it beside her, and they could open it together. So Frank, sad at what's going to happen, but also kind of excited to see what had been hiding in his closet for these 6 decades, went, he grabbed the box, he brought it over to her, and together they opened it. And she said, "It's okay, hon, it's time." And so Frank opens the box, and inside he sees 2 items. He sees this beautiful, handmade, crocheted doll and $95,000 in cash. He was surprised. This isn't what he was expecting to find. And he was trying to put it together, but eventually he asked his dear bride to explain what was going on. And so Jean said, "Well, hon, on our wedding day, my very wise mother gave me some sage advice. She said the key to love, the key to a good marriage is to never argue. She said, whenever I found myself in disagreement or I wanted to argue with you or change what we were doing, it was better to use that energy to keep my mouth shut and to crochet a doll, to put that energy to good use." So he was kind of surprised by this, but not entirely, because he knew that she didn't argue much with him. And then he saw inside the box just 1 doll. And so at first he was kind of proud. There was only 1 time in their 6 decades of married life together where they had been in disagreement. He tried to rack his brain to think, what was the 1 time where she didn't agree with where I thought we should go, where she didn't agree with some of the decisions that I had made? He couldn't quite pinpoint it, and he was really intrigued by the next item. And so he said, "Well," he asked the $95,000 question, "what's with this cash?" And she said, "Well, honey, that's the money I made all of these years by selling all of my dolls. But I love you, dear." Love, it's an interesting word. It's a word that I think we might have many different definitions. It's a word that we've tried to understand, tried to feel, tried to define, yet everything seems to come up short. It's a question, what is love, that goes all the way back probably to the beginning of time, and I'm sure many of you have asked that question, maybe even recently as you've had a lot of in-laws over for meals. I'm sure if I pooled our audience, if I pooled our congregation, I'm sure we could come up with a pretty good definition. Some of you probably very sentimental and sappy. Others probably more practical in understanding of what it means. The question, what is love, it was posed to a group of 4 to 8-year-old children. I thought some of their responses were just as good as what any of us could come up with. Noel, age 7, said, "Love is when you tell a boy that you like his shirt, and so for the rest of the week, he wears that shirt just for you." Carl, age 5, says, "Love is when a girl goes and puts on perfume and a boy goes and he puts on cologne, and then during recess, they sniff each other." Thought that one was interesting. Chrissy, age 6, says, "Love is when you go to a restaurant and you order a big plate of fries and you give those fries over to that special boy, knowing full in return you will not get back any of those fries. Finally, Mary Ann, age 4, says, love is when you leave your dog all day and you come home, and instead of barking and being mad at you, the dog just licks your face. Some pretty wise words from these young philosophers, isn't it? Well, today I've been preparing to try to define this, to figure out what is love. And I think in my studies I've been able to not only uncover a good answer, but I've actually found that there's three types of love that all humans interact with on a daily life. And thankfully for you, I plan to share those with you this morning. The first love that I like to call is called Prince Charming love. Prince Charming love. This is a love that I think if we get to know Gina, we might better understand what this love looks like. Gina's a decent-looking 30-something-year-old girl who has everything going for her in life except for one thing. She doesn't have a man. She's tried the dating scene. She's been set up by friends. She's even done the online dating, and no guy ever really seems to measure up to what she expects her partner to be. If we look at her dating profile, we'll see that really Gina's not asking for too much. All Gina wants is a man who's 6'3" tall, salt and pepper hair, piercing blue eyes, dimples when he smiles, makes a reasonable income, is versed in all the ways of a gentleman. This man would know instinctively that after the 12th date, he's supposed to surprise her with a trip to Paris so that he can propose in front of the Eiffel Tower, just like she always imagined since she was a little girl. This man would also know that it's his obligation to provide for her 3 children. First, a boy, so that he can carry on the namesake and protect the rest of the children, but then 2 lovely and polite young girls. It would be helpful if his name was Brad, because she always liked that name, but that part was more negotiable. It's kind of a sad love. It's hard to understand why Gina's still alone, isn't it? We laugh, but this is more of a common type of love than maybe we want to admit. It's this love that takes what we expect the world to give us, and we put it out there and we say, we expect this, 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 and this, and you're going to provide it for us. I don't care who it is, as long as they come in and fill that role for me. Am I right? It's the kind of love that's really not about the other person at all. It's entirely about what we want, what our selfish desire is, what we think we deserve because of this, this, and this. This is Prince Charming love because we see it in every Disney tale, every prince that we ever hear of, every chick flick I've been forced to watch since a little boy. There's always some Prince Charming that I'm supposed to measure up to. Even in social media, we see this in something called hashtag relationship goals. And in this, they post a picture of what this perfect person would do or what a perfect event would be if you were on a date with them, what Brad would have to put to please you. And we put it out on social media so that anyone who dares to ask you on a date knows what's expected of them. This is our relationship goal. It's sad, really. Unfortunately, it's not just reserved to other people. We do this in all parts of our lives. We've come across that dream home, either in a movie or in a magazine, and this is what we strive to build. We want this dream place. As long as everything's in the right way, as long as the door looks like this, then everything will be perfect, and I'll have my perfect family and my perfect dream home. We do this with our vacations. We have Facebook-worthy vacations so that everyone else can see what a perfect vacation would be like with me. Sadly, we also do this sometimes with our retirement dreams. We have this plan and this expectation of what our retirement years will look like, and this is exactly how everything's going to play out. But it rarely ever does it? Sadly, I think we also put these expectations on our children. A lot of times we have preconceived roles that our children are supposed to play, some skills that they're supposed to have, some roles they're supposed to play in life, and so we put them there and we tell them to do it. I don't think it's unique that travel sports teams and honor societies and all of these different clubs have skyrocketed in the last couple decades as this has become a more common love. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports and there's anything wrong with honor societies and things like that, but the thing that is wrong with it is what's driving that. Is it this strive for this perfect goal that we have, this perfect Prince Charming role we have for our children? At the root of it, all of this comes down to idolatry. We've created what we expect God to give us, and now we need to make sure the world gives it to us. We, instead of worshiping what God has given us, we now worship what we expect God to provide for us. And ultimately, it usually doesn't turn out the way that we expect. The second type of love is what I call garage sale love. In this, it's probably better for us to understand Ben, to understand what garage sale love looks like. Ben's also a 30-something-year-old male who finds himself in between relationships. He's a decent-looking guy. He doesn't have problems getting dates, but he hates being alone. He can't stand when he doesn't have another person in his life. He doesn't know what to do with his time. And so Ben has decided to go throughout his house to use some of this extra time to gather up all of the unused items, the things that he doesn't need anymore, and to have a garage sale. And so it's in doing this that he actually discovers something kind of startling about his life. In the first box, the one all the way to the left, he's got all of his hiking gear. He's got shoes, hiking backpacks, sticks, the water camelback stuff. You can tell I'm not a hiker. He's got all of the hiking gear that he's accumulated over the years, and he's placed in there because he hasn't touched it in a long time. And on the front of the box, he writes the word Ann. That's because it wasn't until he met Ann that he realized just how much he loved to hike. Because Ann loved to hike, and he wanted to be with Ann, and so all of a sudden he decided he loved to hike, and he went out and he accumulated all these things, and it became his new hobby. Well, let's just say that he couldn't keep up, and Ann decided to move on, and the box next to there is a bunch of barely used CDs, a very, very gently used guitar, and other musical things like that. On the front of that box, he writes the word Mary, because after his first date with Mary at the local jazz club, he decided that he, too, adored music. And so he went out, and he listened to all the music, and he thought he could teach himself how to play guitar. How many of us have a slightly used guitar that we never really learned how to play with? Some of us? Yeah. So it found its way into this box because there wasn't much harmony between him and Mary, and she decided to move on as well. Box after box, he has this startling revelation that his entire identity has been transformed into whoever it was that he was spending time with. Whoever it was that he was dating has now become his new norm. This love, it's kind of like the first love, but it's the other end of the spectrum. He's entirely basing his identification, who he is, solely on someone else and trying to please and meet their needs and what they expect. He's tried different skills, different hobbies, all these different areas in his life just to please somebody else, not really because he wants to do it. Ultimately, he's trying to transform who he is into what they expect him to be. I think this is how the ad agency really makes a lot of money, if you think about it. They try to create this environment that you and I would be happy in these commercials. And it's as if they say there's a hole in our life, and if we don't fill that hole, then we're never going to be happy. And thankfully, I'm here to give you what will complete that hole, what will fill it up. And they make millions of dollars doing this by telling us and really showing us that there is a hole in our lives that we're trying to be a part of. Now, skills and hobbies, these are all good things. They help us to grow. They help us to expand who we are and to be better people. But the question, again, is what's behind it? What's driving us into doing this? Ultimately, this will lead us sad and confused as well. The first love, it was unhealthy. The Prince Charming love, it was unhealthy because, like Gina, we try to force things to be how we expect them to be. We create that reality, and ultimately, nothing's ever going to measure up to our perfect goal. Ben's love, garage sale love, is also unhealthy because it tries to change who we are and transform ourselves into something else, which we never really can completely change who we are. And so it never really lives up to what we expect, and we find ourselves in both types, empty and alone and confused. But thankfully, there's a third type of love. There's a third type of love that we can talk about today as well. Whereas the first two loves, they were selfish, they were about getting what you want, they were about transforming yourself, they were imperfect and incomplete. This love is selfless. This love is sacrificial. It's a completing type of love. The first love tries to change you into something else or change something else into what you expect. This love meets you where you are and it fills that hole. It completes who you are. This love, we can call it perfect because the source of this love isn't me and it isn't another person. It's perfection himself. It's God. And he gives us this love. Today is the first Sunday in a new church year. So Happy New Year, everybody. See you all stayed up all night. It's counting down the time until the new church year started. But the first season that we celebrate in the new church year is the season of Advent. Advent is a word that means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. The arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. That's exactly what we celebrate in Advent as we await the arrival of the most notable person, thing, or event that has ever happened in all of mankind, the coming of God himself to this earth. That's what we celebrate as we celebrate Advent. We start a new series. The series is called Because Jesus Came. Because God came to this earth, because Jesus came as a baby in a manger on Christmas morning, everything has changed. Next few weeks, we look forward to sharing just exactly what that means. But today, he's definitely changed the fact that because Jesus came, there is love. Jesus himself, he defines this love in John chapter 15 when he says, "There's no greater love than this, than that a person would lay down their life for their friends." Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what we celebrate on Christmas, is that God himself defined and perfected that love by coming to our earth, by living the perfect life, and then by dying on the cross for us. Because the ad agencies, they're right. There is something missing in our lives. There's something broken inside all of us, and that's our relationship with our Creator. Because of sin, death, and the devil, we have been separated from God, and God loves us so much that he actually does something about it. And so he comes to this earth, and he gives us perfect love that completes who we are. He doesn't come to earth saying, "I expect you to do this, this, and this to please me and transform into what I expect," like what Ben experienced. He doesn't come to earth as a broken or as just a lump of clay saying, "All right, make me whatever God you want me to be." No, he's a personal God that comes to earth and meets us where we are and takes us where we need to be so that you and I can spend eternity in relationship with him. That's the story of Christmas. It's a perfect love story because it's not about our love. It's about God's love for us. John 3:16 is familiar, but it's worth noting because here he describes exactly what that love looks like. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life through him. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to in fact save the world through his coming." This is the complete definition of perfect love. And thankfully a definition that I can share with you this morning. Today in our lesson, as we read from Paul in 1 Thessalonians, we see this love, and not just here from Paul, but we see this throughout all of the scriptures, about just how perfect this love is. Paul says specifically in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, when he prays for all believers, that the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Increase and abound in love for one another and for all. That's what we're called to do as his people. We're called to love. Now, we're still broken. We still do things imperfectly. But we have a source of perfect love pouring himself into our lives so that we can go and we can love others. Not just us here in this room, although that's important, as we gather together as a community of believers and worship God. Also, as we go out into our communities, our unique communities that we all go from here, that we can bring this love, because there's so many people who think there's only two types of love, either Prince Charming love or garage sale love, and they're missing out on perfect love. And that's the gift, the best gift that you can give them this Advent, as you go out there and you love them and teach them of where the source of perfect love comes from. This is what God's people do. Have you ever encountered anyone who is living in perfect love? Have you ever interacted with someone whose identity was solely based on the love that they received from the Father? Just imagine with me for a second. Close your eyes. I know it's dangerous on a Sunday morning, but close your eyes and imagine with me what this love looks like. Imagine a father who is living in this perfect love. A man of God whose first priority is that his children are walking in the Lord, and that they know the extent of the love that their heavenly Father has for them above all things. a man who makes church a part of their week and prayer a part of their daily life spent together. A man who knows that his life has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and so he only seeks to please his Father in heaven before all others. Imagine with me a wife who's living in this perfect love. A wife who has placed her own value, her own worth into the hands of the Lord. A woman who prays daily for those that she meets and openly shares this love of God to anyone and everyone who will let her speak. A woman who knows that her entire identity is now complete because of the actions of her Lord and no one else. Imagine with me a child who has been taught to live in this perfect love. A child who can confidently live in this world, knowing just how much love the Lord has for them. A child who is kind and is compassionate for others because she has been wrapped in perfect kindness and perfect compassion from above. A child who knows just how awesome and extreme is the love of her Father in heaven. And finally, imagine with me what your own life would look like. What your own life is like when you are willing to live solely in this perfect love which comes from the perfect lover, our Father above. Brothers and sisters, because Jesus came, there is love. This is most certainly true. Amen.